This is Mary Harrison. I'm at the home of Dr. Howard Mermelstein at 1824 Beechwood Boulevard. It is 7:30 in the evening. I'm doing the oral history for the National Council of Jewish Women's Oral History. My note taker is Gabi Dinman. And we have to explain a little bit. We were at Dr. Mermelstein's office a few weeks ago, and the first half of the tape did not work, and we had some notes, and we're referring back to those particular notes tonight, and so that we can get this back on tape. Okay, I'd like to describe Dr. Mermelstein's house. It's a two-story, five levels. One of these days, maybe we'll interview Dr. Mermelstein here during the day. I have a feeling there's some goodies outside, but it's too dark, and we won't be looking outside. We're in a, I would say, in a very lovely, gracious home, very modern, and there's some beautiful works of art, which I plan to ask Dr. Mermelstein about at a later time. And we're sitting at the dining room table with a nice tablecloth, and now we're going to start. First of all, Howard, you talked about your father dying in 1947, and this is the first thing I will ask you to be, when he was born, and when you lived in Ambridge, and how he opened up his store in Leedsdale in 1901, and moved to Ambridge in 1923, is that correct? Okay. Would you like to?
Yeah, my father was born in 1883. Whether it was Czechoslovakia or Hungary or whatever in that area, as you know, it changed the flow. I never did get a lot of information from my father as to exactly where he lived when he was a boy. He came over as a very young boy by himself sometime in the 1890s, and ended up in Ambridge, well, it was Leedsdale then, in 1901, and opened a food store, a grocery store, and stayed on, it was Beaver Street, Beaver Avenue, which led right on to what his next store was, the main street, which was Merchant Street of Ambridge, where he had built a building that he moved into in 1923. And he closed the store in Leedsdale because Ambridge then was becoming a thriving metropolis. At any rate, that was the beginnings of him in this country. My mother's side, my maternal great-grandparents came from a similar area, very close to where my father was born, I'm told. And they landed in the United States in about 1870. My maternal great-grandmother was pregnant with my grandmother at the time, and my grandmother was born in Chicago. And my mother was also born in Chicago in 1893. When my mother was 3 years of age, they moved to the McKeesport area from Chicago. And from what I'm told, my grandmother cried her eyes out for a total of about 2 years because they were in a small mining town called Blythedale, which is near West Newton, outside of McKeesport. Where my grandfather had a general store. And after, I guess, enough of my grandmother's urgings, my mother, who was the oldest of seven children and grandparents, moved to McKeesport, where they lived. My grandparents lived there until each of them died. Mother was the oldest of seven.
You have the names, all the names?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, could we first have your...
My mother was Fanny, F-A-N-N-Y-E, last Fanny
name?
Berger, B-E-R-G-E-R. Her father was William Berger. Her mother was Jenny Berger. William and Jenny had seven children. Mother was the oldest. The second was Clara. And Clara married Nate Rosenbaum, and they lived in Lorain, Ohio. As a matter of fact, my Aunt Clara is 90, going on 93, and still lives in the Lorain area. Her oldest son is an internist in Lorain, and they keep close tabs on Aunt Clara. And their younger son is, well, they have one son who was killed in a Navy plane crash in training in Pensacola. And they had one daughter who died.
Second World War?
No, well, that was right after World War II. Their daughter died at the age of 6 of pneumonia. And their younger, the other son, Arthur, is a psychiatrist in Cleveland. So she has two boys still around her to try to take care of her. That was number two. The third child was Hannah. Hannah Berger, Levine, she married Herman Levine, who lived in McKeesport for many years. And they were married, I guess they were both somewhere around 50 when they got married. And Hannah taught school in the Shaw Avenue School for many, many years in McKeesport. Those were the three girls. Then there were four boys. One, the oldest, was Ben. And Ben practiced dentistry in McKeesport for years until he died several years ago. The second one was Lee Berger, who practiced dentistry just outside of Indianapolis. That's how Beverly and I got together, as a matter of fact. Beverly's from Indianapolis. And Ben and Lee both went to Indiana University in Bloomington. And Lee married one of his dental classmates, who was, I guess, one of the first Jewish women to graduate from IU Dental School. And they're both retired. And then they have two children. The oldest is their son, who is practicing dentistry in the building which his father was in. And their second child, a daughter, is married to an oral surgeon who was a classmate of my cousin Dick's and practices in Indianapolis. And each of them have children. One is practicing medicine in Portland, Oregon. One is a lawyer, I think in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I can't tell exactly what all the others, but anyway, there are enough children spawned. The third boy was Morley,
M-O-R-L-E-Y.
Morley graduated from Jefferson Medical School, and my first introduction to medicine, I remember, is when we used to go on a Sunday to visit my grandparents. He interned at the McKeesport Hospital, and he used to keep these embryos in formaldehyde. And I used to play with the embryos right around the glass. And we used to...
How old were you then?
Well, I guess I was 6, 1930. And Morley's retired. He practiced medicine just outside. He was with the Veterans Administration in surgery for many years. And practiced medicine just outside of Indianapolis with his brother Lee, who was the dentist there. And then the youngest was Steve. Steve Berger was a lawyer here in Pittsburgh, and he died some few years back. And that's mother's family. My father's family, his father died in Europe. His mother died at about the age of 93 or 94 here in Pittsburgh, not too far from town here. My father had an older brother, Sam, who died years ago. Brother Charlie, who my father brought over and trained him in the meat and grocery business in Leechdale, and then he went on to Akron and did very well in business there. And then Charlie and my father brought their younger brother over, Martin, who also was trained in the same business. And they lived in Akron. I forget the name of the small town that he was in, and also did very well. His son, as a matter of fact, had only one child. He and his wife were married also at a later age. And have one son who's a pharmacist in Akron to this day, Melvin. And my father had several brothers, Gussie, who lived actually in McKeesport. Gussie Samovitz was her name. And another sister lived in New York and died some years ago, too.
So Gussie was a sister, not a brother.
Gussie was a sister. And Pardon?
Second sister. What was
yeah, name? Second sister. I'm trying to think.
Well,
it's terrible. I know her name. Well, Rosenwasser. Her name was Rosenwasser.
Mike Rosenwasser.
The reason I remember them so well, I used to wear a quintuple A shoe.
Wow.
And I came home from school one day in first grade crying, asking why my parents never told me I was wearing girls' shoes. And my uncle in New York manufactured Dr. Locke's shoes, but they didn't manufacture children's shoes. And whether he did it himself or he had a friend do it, they used to send me shoes that were boys' shoes that were quintuple and finally down to quadruple and then finally down to AAA. And I wore a AAA shoe until I got into the service. And I was in combat boots for 9 months. And believe it or not, I went from a AAA to an A, and that's what I wear now as an A. So I've come a long way on my feet. But anyway, that's pretty much my father's family.
Howard, could you, this is a good time, to tell us about Ambridge, what Ambridge was like from your first recollection, even if you have stories to tell, and then naturally, if you can take us up to the sad state of affairs that it is now.
Well, Ambridge has very fond memories for me. As you know, it's a small town about 18, 19 miles down the Ohio River from Pittsburgh. My mother and father lived in Leedsdale before I was born. My sister, as a matter of fact, lived in Leedsdale. I'm sworn to secrecy, even though I really don't even know the date of her birth.
Oh, we have that. I have it down. Wait till she sees it.
How
far is Leedsdale from Ambridge? Is it very close? Leedsdale?
Right beside one another.
Okay.
Leedsdale is the last town in Allegheny County, and Ambridge is the first town in Beaver County.
One second.
Anyway, my sister was born in Leedsdale, and my father, mother, and Eleanor moved up to Ambridge.
And what was Ambridge like?
Ambridge at that time, I'm told, was a very thriving town. My father's business was in the 600 block. To this day, there are only two real good blocks on the main street for business, and that's the 500 and 600 block. And the block where his business was in, the 600 block, he had a light that he put out in front of his store, you know, those old-fashioned lights like you see in Disney World with the bulbs, you know, the four or five around, so that it would be a beacon for people to know where it was. That's how young that town was. Although it was founded, actually, in 1824. It was founded by the Harmonites, who came to Harmony first, and then John Rapp, Duss, and that group moved up to Ambridge, and they were a very successful community until 1906, at which time it died out. It died out only because of celibacy.
I was just gonna ask.
They practiced celibacy,
right?
And
they were a German group, right?
It was a German group, and it was a communal group.
Right.
Very successful. There's still a called the Great House. The Historical Society has the Great House down in Ambridge.
I've been there, but where is that other community where they have the wine?
Harmony, Pennsylvania.
Thank you. Okay.
That was where they landed first before they came to what was Old Economy, actually.
Old Economy, okay.
Old Economy is Ambridge, actually.
Is it Old? Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Old Economy is in 14th Street in Ambridge, the Old Economy area.
Now, when did American Bridge arrive there?
American Bridge, when my father was in Leedsdale in 1901, the only thing in Ambridge was First Street. Maybe there was some other sundry houses above, but on First Street with company houses for first the Bethlehem Steel, and then which was in Leedsdale, and then the American Bridge Company. Now, I guess the American Bridge Company must have been sometime about the same time, late 1800s.
So was it called Leedsdale, and then they called it Ambridge?
No, Leedsdale's still Leedsdale.
How did it get Ambridge? It's American Bridge is the name.
Ambridge is a name from American Bridge Company.
Okay, so the plant preceded the name. Okay.
Yeah, right.
And that you don't know what year that plant...
I don't know. When it first started, I knew, but I don't know the date.
So it has to be before 1901? Yeah, okay.
Had to be in the late 1800s.
All right.
Had to be in the late 1800s. And, let's see. I was born in the Swickley Hospital, which is the town just before you get to Leedsdale, on the way to Ambridge. I have, as I say, very fond memories of the town. There weren't that many Jews in the small towns, as you know, but those who were all merchants, few professional people. Matter of fact, there was one Jewish doctor in Ambridge, Lou Weiss, and Lou was a general practitioner who then went into ear, nose, and throat, who actually had invited me when I was a senior in medical school to go into ear, nose, and throat and come down to Strickland and practice with him, which I didn't. But we remained good friends until his death.
Howard, so you lived in, let's see, we have, I'd love to go through Ambridge during, if you, do you have any recollection of either yourself, you wouldn't have any vivid recollections whatsoever because of your age, of the Depression.
Oh, I remember the Depression very well.
In Ambridge, I'd
absolutely.
Like, all right.
I can remember when the bakers used to come through the town. As I said, we had a food store. And if they came in, my father never turned anyone down. He was the kind of a guy that's down in your luck, you need something, fine, give him a ring of bologna or whatever it was. And they used to take a piece of chalk. They'd put chalk on the pole in front of your store or whatever it was, so that the next beggar through would know, hey, that's a good place to start.
Wonderful.
They used to chalk it. We used to have a lot of bagmen. We used to call them bagmen. The old Jews who came down, you know, with their bags to collect.
Where'd they come from?
They came from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And they were tenacious. They wouldn't leave a store until they had some money in their pocket. And you never knew where the devil money was going, whether it was for them or for Yeshiva or whatever. But finally, in Ambers, they decided on having several merchants be the ones that when you walk into someone's store, they say, I'm sorry, this man or that man, my dad was one of them. You go there and they
consolidate.
They'll take care of it, and they would divvy it out, and everybody would divvy in from the town. It was a caring community, it really was. But I can remember the Depression very well. As a matter of fact, I think it was my parents wanted me to remember it. My mother was active with the Ambridge Women's Club, and they used to, every Christmas, have baskets packed and delivered to the poor. I mean, to the really poor. There were a lot of poor neighbors at that time, but to the really poor. And our store did the packing. As a matter of fact, it was an all-night job where they would pack the baskets, and the time was donated by our help. The food was given at cost by my father, and the delivery was done by our trucks. And I was on those trucks to deliver to these poor houses, and I'll tell you, I can still picture some of them. It was archaic, every tenements. And no, I remember the Depression very well.
Were the tenements owned by American Bridge?
No, the company houses after that became, it wasn't like down further in Beaver County. I forget the name of the town, in back of Beaver Falls, where the whole town were company houses. No, the houses were pretty much owned by individuals. But it was a town that, even during the Depression, there was work around. And interestingly enough, the merchants gave credit. My father, for instance, you know, you talk about the Polish and their anti-Semitism, what it is. I guess I was privileged because my father did own a couple tenements itself, and people who lived there who couldn't pay the rent for a year, matter of fact, some of his family said, Morris, you're crazy, you're going to lose your shirt. They'll never pay you. And he said, they'll pay. And there were some that didn't pay rent for 12 and 18 months, and he gave them credit at the store besides. And then it went into sort of a barter system. I still remember this. We had the first lovely gas range in town because one of these kids grew up, worked for an appliance dealer, a furniture store, I guess, and they couldn't pay him. So in order to pay him, they gave him the appliance. He took credit on that and then passed it on to our family. We had that. I remember the first refrigerator we had. These all came in this kind of a deal. And it was very interesting, the way they hung on. And there was another one, I'll never forget, Andy Catcher, who worked, as a matter of fact, for a furniture store, and then opened his own and did extremely well. He did very well as he ended up later. But he never forgot the old merchants who helped him. And Dad was one of them.
How
did I learn some good lessons?
It sounds like you did, Howard. How did the American Bridge, how did they behave? Do you have any idea what their, they just closed up?
The people?
Yeah, they just closed up and...
Oh, well, you mean...
Depression time.
Oh, no, 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 they had work. Wasn't as good as it had been before, but they still employed people.
Okay.
In town, we had the American Bridge Company. Across the river was J&L, the Jones and Locke, and that was out of Quipper. It was a 4 mile long mill then. We used to get all their dust. I remember my father saying, don't complain about the dust. If it stops getting dusty, you're not going to eat so good. And it was that kind of thing. But we had a lot of people from Ambridge worked at J&L across the river. Now, J&L had company stores. They had the Pittsburgh Mercantile Company. We didn't have that in Ambridge, but they had it there. The Pittsburgh Mercantile Company was owned by Jones and Locke. And people used to buy whatever they needed. It was like a department store. And then when they got their pay, it was docked out of their pay.
With interest?
Or... Oh, yeah.
Sure.
They did all right. But as far as I always thought, I really didn't realize until I got away to college how much we really didn't have. I thought I was the richest kid in the world. Because when you looked around at everybody else in your small town, you were eating real good, and you were dressing real well, and you were driving a nice car. But it was all within reason. It wasn't like I found when I came to the big city of Pittsburgh. But it was a very valuable lesson to learn, a good way to be brought up. You learn values, you learn to respect your neighbor, you learn to take care of your neighbor. Because a lot of them needed taken care of, and you were just thanking your lucky stars. And my father and mother made it clear to me how lucky we were. What we were able to do and what we were able to give, whatever it was. And my sister had the same kind.
And there were just the two of you, Howard?
Just the two of us, my sister Eleanor and I.
And Eleanor's older than you are.
Eleanor's older than me, yes.
We'll stop there. No, I want to have it on record. Religion. How did you observe holidays?
Three, I started a Sunday school.
You started a Sunday school.
I started a Sunday school at the age of three. The Sunday school was above the Prince Theater. The Prince Theater was owned by Ben Nadler, who was first in the real estate business down there, and then he ended up with some theaters and insurance. He was the tax collector. And
how did you start it?
Hmm?
How did you start it? You said you started the Sunday school.
No. I first attended Sunday school at the age of three.
I'm sorry, okay.
As a matter of fact, my first teacher, I still remember clearly because I still see her all the time here in town, and it's Belle Stock. I don't really know Belle or not. Belle's son, David, is the one that has
the new music group.
Belle at that time was Belle Disenfeld.
And how many people were, other children were in that Sunday school class with you, Howard? Do you remember?
Well, I guess I'll get the same. It was part of what we called the Southwestern District. The Southwestern District included all the small towns in the area, in the tri-state area.
So who provided who decided that there would be a Sunday school above the Prince Theater?
Well, the community.
Okay.
We did not have a synagogue or a shul. We had services in the back of Ben Naylor's old real estate office. He closed and moved to the main street. The Jewish community took that over. Most of my friends were Gentile. But I think there were four of us in my class who were Jewish. One was Dave Barr. Dave Barr just retired. He was graduated from Pitt Engineering School. And he was in an executive position with the H.H. Robertson Company down in Ambridge for years. Ralph Kaplan, his father, had a wholesale grocery business down there until he died just a few years ago. He must have been a million years old when he died. He was still in business. But Ralph is in New York. He's a writer. I haven't seen him for years. And there were a couple of girls in our class. Betty Levy, who ended up a pharmacist. I have no idea where she is. And Evelyn Hartstein. I'm not sure where Evelyn is either. But most of the kids that I really did things with were Gentile, because that was most of the town. And the same with Eleanor. Eleanor's friends were the same way. But we were never told, was never impressed upon us, you are Jewish, period. We knew darn well we were Jewish. There was no doubt we were Jewish. Because of the way the ritual that was observed at home. We didn't keep kosher. Matter of fact, I'll never forget when I came home once, asked my father what it meant to be a tray feeder. Kids were all kidding me because they said, "You're a tray feeder." I didn't know from tray, but that meant we didn't keep kosher. We were one of the few families, I guess, at that particular time. Interesting enough, the ones that chided me about being tray feeders, they all ended up in Reformed temples later. So, but at any rate, through school, I never really had anything except positive reactions. I had a good education, went to the Second Ward School in Cambridge, and then on to the junior high school. In seventh grade, they gave two citizenship awards. One was an American Legion Award, another was the Veterans of Foreign Wars Award, and Mermelstein got the Veterans of Foreign Wars Award. So actually, you got what you earned, and it wasn't because you weren't Jewish. And then, all through high school, now my sister sort of paved the way for me in many things. She was very active in a lot of activities, especially in drama and newspaper. And, well, we both took piano lessons. I'll never forget. I was 6 years old when my sister, I guess, was a few years older, when my father bought the first piano. And that piano was in my sister's living room, so just last year, at which time it was moved to my daughter Margie's house, where she has in the living room there. And it's a very special thing to us all, because it means a lot. Incidentally, neither Eleanor nor I play the piano, but we took a lot of lessons. At any rate, as we went along in Ambridge through the years, for instance, in high school, we were all very active, and most of our group, most of the Jewish group, were very active in so many things. The school newspaper, I was editor, co-editor of our yearbook, our senior year, along with the National Honor Society, I was in the varsity debate team, student court. The only reason I'm mentioning all these is to show you the diverse kinds of background you were able to get. International Language Club, Spanish Club.
What was the size of the school, Howard?
There were 363 graduates when I graduated from high school. It wasn't just Ambridge High School, it was Walrose out in back, Baden, which is the next town down. Conway had their own school, Conway. So it was Baden, Walrose, Ambridge.
And you graduated high school what year?
1942.
And then from there you went where?
1942, that summer, I started Pitt. And at Pitt, I was there for a year, and then I went to MIT. And while at Pitt, I was tapped to three different honoraries. One was Druids, which was an activity honorary. I was president of Phi Eta Sigma, which was a freshman honorary, and belonged to Cairo Nu, which was a medical, or a pre-medical honorary. And I was a Phi Ep. I went Phi Ep my first year.
That's the Jewish fraternity?
The Jewish fraternity.
Now it's
ZBT. It's no longer Phi Ep. Well, it's Phi Epsilon Pi when I belong to it. Then I finished my undergraduate work at MIT, and then came back to Pitt Medical School. Then I graduated from Pitt Medical School 6 years after I graduated from high school. I graduated from high school in May of 42, and graduated from Pitt Medical School in April of 48. And I interned at the Medical Center Hospitals in Pittsburgh, which at that time encompassed Children's Hospital, Presbyterian Hospital, Eye and Ear Hospital, Women's Hospital, Western Psych, and McGee. And then Women's Hospital was spun off, and the Presbyterian took all that space, and Women's Hospital then became part of McGee Women's, and they joined forces together. But I had a rotating internship at that time, and then had...
In pediatrics? I mean, you don't rotate in pediatrics.
That's not rotating. You rotated through everything.
Right.
Surgery,
but did you know?
But I knew I wanted pediatrics at the time. And I had been president of the Phi DE, Phi Delta Epsilon, which at that time was all Jewish medical fraternity now, it's everything. And I guess it was taken for granted that most of us would go to Montefiore. But I wanted to go to the center, mainly because I wanted to have my options open for Children's Hospital. The center, that time only had 15 interns. And 1 year they'd have one, and next year they'd have two Jews, next year they'd have one. No quota, but that's the way it was. Same with Pitt Medical School. There was never a quota, but my class were 86 persons. 1 year they had eight Jews, the next year they had nine. The next year they had eight, the next year they had nine, but no quota. And that's the way it was, and you had to be realistic about it. But I had been accepted in Chicago to the Kunstetter Research Lab, which was part of Michael Reeves Hospital. It was a very fine research lab, which is what I really wanted at the time, because I was interested at that time particularly in what's called fluid balance. We called it the salt water boys. There wasn't that much taught at that time. That was an emerging field. So we didn't know what you were doing with fluid balance. And for personal reasons, because my father died several years before, and mother really needed me around home. By that I mean around the Pittsburgh area to help her with certain personal things. I talked to Dr. McCluskey, who at that time was chairman of the department. He said, look, if you want to do that, instead of going straight into pediatrics, I'll team you up with Dr. Donowski, who at that time was head of research medicine, professor of research medicine at Pitt. And I had a marvelous year with him, doing exactly what I would have been doing in Chicago.